men that understand the workings of the Holy Ghost have the capacity to change conditions. The capacity to change condition, it's a kingdom entrustment. You can't gain the kingdom if it is not a priority.
Yes, this is the kingdom message. Get ready and fasten your seatbelt as the servant of God, the lead pastor of KDC Love and Mercy Church, Pastor Stephen Enoku, drives us through the mysteries of the Word of God. Be blessed as you listen.
Amen. I welcome you to service tonight. Koinonia service. Now, every time we come to Koinonia service, it's a time we look at the part of fellowship. We share. Every part of service is very, very important. Beginning from the worship all through to the ministry of the word. So please, I want you to always try and make it early to service. Service is 5. Participate in the worship. Glory to God. Now, very, very quickly, I want to pick up from where I stopped on Sunday. We are looking at understanding the way of the Spirit. Understanding the way of the Spirit. So we want to look at part 2 today. Understanding the way of the Spirit. Part 2. Now, just a quick recap of what we did on Sunday that we're not here on Sunday. Now, first and foremost, I ask a question. When we say spirit, what do we mean? And then when we say God's spirit, what do we mean? So that's where we're going to pick up from. I want to know how many of you were able to understand what I was trying to say last time. So everybody, close your notes. Now, I said that when we say spirit, there are at least 3 things we are talking about. Number one, when we say spirit, what's the first thing we are talking about? That which is not seen. That which is invisible. Is that okay? So for those of you that are just joining, when we say spirit, we dey talk about something where you know they see. Wait till you know see. They exist, but you know they see them. We call it spirit. Now the reason why you can't see it is because it's what? It's spiritual. Number 2, when we say spirit, what was it we talked about? Influence. Number 2, when we say spirit, we say influence. Influence. And then number 3, that which is not physical. Do we get that now? So when we now say the Spirit of God, what are we talking about? We are talking about the God that we don't see. 2, we are talking about the influence of God. And then 3, we are talking about the God that is not physical. Amen. So I went on to say that talking about appearance, visibility, we have 3 spirits or 3 kinds of spirit. So number 1, we have what we call the Spirit of God. God's spirit. Let's take note of that. So we say we have classes of spirits. One, we say God's spirit. Two, we said man's spirit. And then three, we said Satan's. Is this Satan's spirit? Is that okay? So we can call it the devil's spirit or Satan's spirit. So all of these, I said, we summarize them as what? Influences. So let me explain. Whenever you say the spirit at work in him, you are simply saying the spirit that is what? That is influencing him. In this realm that we are, when we say spirit, because the reason why we must understand spirit is because we live in a what? In a physical realm. And see, the core part of the physical realm is that is a realm of what? If you don't have understanding of anything, you can't live. Huh? Let's take for example, I write this now. You can read it. What was there? Huh? Huh? Was here? You said? Komeno. Komeno. Huh? What's this? Huh? You know what you just explained to me? You saw something, you interpreted it in your mind, and communicated it in your mouth. Everything that just happened is understanding. For example, if I walk up to him and I say, Edide. Now, all I just did was to express something that he doesn't see from within me, that he was able to comprehend, and he will respond. So if I say, Edide. Now, what will happen? What did I say? I said, stand. Okay. Keep standing. Let me use my tribe. And let's see who will get it. Funny enough, I never sabi speak my tribe. But I will try. I'll try. Okay, we'll come to that later. We'll come to that later. We'll come to that later. So, this is actually my tribe. Komeno. He's just saying that, give me my portion. Is that okay? Huh? My portion. Give it to me. So now, I've explained it to you now. So if I ask her now, what is Komeno? Give me my portion, isn't it? Now, what just happened is that what looks invisible, what looks complex, I've explained it to her and she understands it. Now, sit down. What we are saying is that the interface between the unseen and the seen is what we call the earth. So, and the unseen realm is spiritual. The earth is physical. And then the seen are humans. So when we are saying influences or spirits, we are saying what makes people in the physical realm do what they do. Because the physical realm is the realm of existence. I'm trying to give you the broad scope about what spirit is all about. So when we are saying spirit, we are talking about that which exists in the world, unseen realm, but has bearing or influences on what now happens on the seen realm. Do we get that now? So when we are saying spirit, maybe we should add this fourth one to it. We are talking about an interface. Is that okay? Okay, spirit is not interface. Human is an interface. Let's not call spirit an interface. Spirit is influence. But the medium of the influence is what we now call what? The interface. So life on earth, we can say now, humanity is what? An interface. Now, humanity is an interface because humanity is the midpoint between that which is what? Unseen and that which is what? That's what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say in effect is this. Whatever you see on the earth realm, true, that is conveyed from the unseen realm to the seen realm, must have a medium. Do we get that now? So that medium is what we now call humans. So the meeting point of spirit and physical life is what? Human beings. So that's the reason why if we don't have humans, we can't talk about spirit, the spiritual realm. Is that okay? You know, during KCC last week, I was trying to classify, tell you that there are kingdoms. We have animal kingdoms. We have invisible kingdom. We have visible kingdom. All we are trying to explain is this. As long as you are living in this earth, you are under the influence of a spiritual realm. That's what I'm trying to say. So meaning that if you are living in this earth realm and you don't have understanding of spirituality, your living will be limited. So when we are saying understanding the way of the spirit, we are trying to bring you into an understanding that in this life you are living, there is what? An influence. Tell your neighbor there is an influence. So let's look at the types of influences. So we have three types of what? Influences. And I told you that these influences are one, intentions, two, motives, three, thoughts, four, plans, five, desires, what? Pleasures and outcomes. What you call results. So don't forget the series Way of the Spirits. So when you say the way of the spirit, you are talking about the combination of all these seven. Make no mistake, every influence has an intention. Every influence has an intention. Let's turn our Bibles to where do we start from? Okay, let's look at I said every influence has an intention. Okay, Matthew 4. Glory to God. You see how Matthew 4 started? Verse 1. The Bible says, did you see that? Let's see it now. Jesus was led by the Spirit to be tempted by who? All three influences in one. Jesus, he didn't say Christ. So this talks about what? Human. Led by the what? Spirit. To be tempted by the what? Look up. This is the summary of what happens on earth. This is a graphical representation. Right there where you are sitting, there are at least three influences that patterns your choices. The leading was the Spirit of God. The opposition was who? Satan. The attention was Jesus. Get it straight. See the first thing Jesus told him. Let's go on. He said, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. Look at verse 2. For 40 days and nights, he fasted and became very hungry. Now you see that. Now that goes to show you, everybody say influence. Say with me, influence. Now, which of the influences at that point in time was higher among the seven in the direction of Jesus? Among the seven, as in at Jesus' level, which influence was stronger? Desire. He was hungry. He had desire for what? For food. Desire was there. So, but then he was under the influence of the Spirit of God. So, everybody say temptation. Now, what do we call temptation? Temptation is just a conflict of interest. A conflict of influence. Sorry. Are you following me? Are we getting it? I want to understand it. I'm going somewhere. When you say temptation, temptation is just a rivalry of what? Influences. A rivalry of what? Of influences. That's what you call temptation. Rivalry of what? Influences. Come, sir. Now, where's your phone? Now, he doesn't have a phone. He doesn't have a phone. But he needs to have a phone because he must make calls and also feel belong. So now, she has a phone. He cannot afford a phone. Now, the desire for the phone will now bring about another influence. So, the influence from the unseen realm, desires that are fashioned out by the devil. So the devil can come to him and say, guy, why are you there for your hand? You don't have phone. Big guy like you, that you cannot steal. You cannot even just look for a way to relocate ordinary phone. See this church, see how they charge their phone anyway. Why not just... Now, what's happening now? The stronger influence inside him is his desires. The external influence of the devil is feasting on that desire to bring about an action that is against what God wants. So if he can't resist it before he leaves the church, he'll pick somebody for an angle. Now that's what our life is. So we are saying that everyone living has an influence. But these influences are what? God's spirit, man's spirit, Satan's spirit. At every point in time, they have the possibility of influencing us. Do we get that now? So, at this point in time, Jesus had been baptized and then the Spirit of God has come upon him. So let's read, go back. Matthew 3 verse 16. Go up. Now, the Bible says, after his baptism, as Jesus came out of the water, the heavens were what? Opened. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a what? Like a dove upon him. So the reason why he could be led in verse 4 was because the Spirit of God came upon him in verse 3. True? So meaning that at that point, Jesus was going to the wilderness. He had his human spirit. He had the Spirit of God. But he did not have the spirit of the devil. So the devil had to what? Come. So now let's check the direction of the first temptation. What did he say? Verse 3. Now during that time, the devil came and said to him, what did the devil tell him? If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. Now, what was the direction of this very temptation? The direction of this very temptation was towards the desires of Jesus. So, meaning that, listen, everybody, we can be led by God, we can be led by the devil, but each of this leading will drop on our desires. So, if God wants to lead you, what he simply does is that he puts his desire in your heart. So if you are here and you are saying, Pastor, I'm led by God. Now, you can't be led by God when you are being led by your desires. Do you get what I'm saying? So the same thing we are saying here, that if a man is going to say, I'm following the way of God, it's simply saying, that man is simply saying, I'm following the intentions of God. Let's turn our Bibles to John. John chapter. Let's start with John. We'll read two verses of John, but let's read John chapter 4. Verse 34. Jesus explained, my nourishment, give it to us in Amplified. See this, everybody. He said, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will. Did you see that? Of who? He said, of him who sent me, and to accomplish and completely finish his work. Now, why did Jesus make that statement? Go back to two verses up. Give us verse 32. 31. See, verse 31. Now, meanwhile, the disciples urged him to eat something, because they felt that at that time he was what? Hungry for food. Now, see what he now said in verse 32. Now, see what they were thinking. He said, but he assured them, I have food, nourishment to eat, of which you know nothing and have no idea. See what Jesus now said. They now thought. See their thought, verse 33. See, so the disciples said one to another, as someone brought him something to eat. Are you seeing what's happening here? We are talking about what leads people. When you say a man is led by the Spirit of God, in Matthew, he was led by the Spirit of God to come face to face with the conflict of his desires. He was hungry. Satan said, turn food to bread. He said, no, I cannot, because of my desire, obey you. Are you following me this evening? We are talking about leading. What leads people? Now, if Jesus was a 21st century pastor, he would say, we sure. Me, the Holy Ghost just came on. Stone turned to bread. The truth is, the stone will turn to bread. But you know what happened? He would have used his desires to conflict God's desire. Some of us do that most times. You are having a quarrel with somebody in your compound. The Bible position to handle that quarrel is, don't talk. Just keep quiet. In fact, he said, if somebody slap you, even give the person the second shake. What he's simply saying, don't retaliate, absorb. So now the guy is just outside insulting you. Now, the Spirit of God is restraining you. Now, if you have become very mature, he will not even move you. All those words, you just even be laughing. Because what is so paramount in your heart is, I'm a minister, I cannot strive, I cannot quarrel. So you are not even listening to what she's saying. But let's assume you are a babe or you are a toddler spiritually. She just begins to say, then another person not even put voice. He cannot even come and defend himself. He cannot even talk. He's just reforming quietness. The thing just sparked for your head, Amy. Do you know where I'm coming from? Now the real ghetto they bring us up. So all of a sudden your emotions will just rise. Now that rising of your emotion that will make you to open your door and go out is what we call leading. So that leading at that point where you are ready to explode, what do we call that? You are being led by your what? Human nature. Because the Spirit of God already told you the posture to what? To take. When you are reviled, don't revile. When they slap you in one shake, open the other one. What that verse is simply saying, absorb, don't retaliate. It's a hard posture. So when we are talking about being led, we are talking about your desires bowing to the desires of God. So when we are saying to be led in the way of the Spirit, walking in the way of the Spirit is saying fashion your day-to-day life according to God's intentions. Let's check that. Luke now. He said, my nourishment. What Jesus was simply saying is, my pleasure is doing God's pleasure. What a way of life. Are you with me? It simply means anytime God's pleasure comes face to face with my pleasure, I will make sure my own pleasure bows. That's what Jesus was saying. And let's see it manifested. Luke chapter, that same John chapter 18, verse 37. John 18, verse 37. Now, Pilate said, you are a king. So you are a king. Jesus responded, you say I'm a king. Give it to us. Okay, go back to 35. Give it to us in New King James. 35. Pilate answered. Okay, let's start from 34. The conversation had been ensuing between Jesus and Pilate. Now, this is when Jesus was to be crucified. Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself? That means we still need to go back to 32 so that we can put the discussion in context. Okay. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, he spoke saying, by what death he would die. 33. Okay. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me? Verse 35. Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priest have delivered you to me. What have you done?" 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. Now, if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight." Did you see that? Everybody say, "He bowed to the Father's will." He said, "From the understanding I have in me, Omo King of Kings, do you know how many angels I have in heaven?" He said, even when Marcus, was it Peter that removed the ear of Marcus? Jesus told him, he said, "Put your sword, your sword perish with you." He said, because the kingdom I come from, if I want to defeat all these armies, I don't need sword. We must understand that the influences in our lives should show by the actions and decisions we take. You can't claim to be led by God and be doing things that are contrary to the ways of God. That's what we are saying. But the actions, the reactions, and the achievement must be consistent with the plans, with the pledges, the motives, the thoughts of God. That's what it means to walk in the way of God. Are you with me now? Jesus said, if my kingdom is of this world, he said, my servants would have what? Would have fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. He said, but now my kingdom is not from here. Oh. He opened another bad part of the discussion. I was telling you last time, Pilate, you know, Jesus, God used the Roman nation as a prototype to advance, to explain the kingdom. You know, Pilate operates in a kingdom. So the moment Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world," Pilate understood kingdom terminology. So it means if you say "my kingdom," automatically you are a king. So Pilate asked him, "Therefore," said him, "are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You are right." He said, "I am a king. But," everybody say "but." And you are not hearing me, say "but." He said, "I'm a king, oh, but then there is another plan I'm what? I'm to exert." Yes, I'm a king. He said, "But for this what? For this cause," we are talking about a motive and a plan. Cause is a blend of why and procedures. He said, "For this cause was I born." He said, "And for this cause I've come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth." So listen, what Jesus was trying to tell Pilate is that I'm living for a greater and bigger cause. I have, as far as I'm concerned, a king, but I am performing, I'm carrying out another assignment. Jesus was a man, but because of the Jesus was the Son of God, sorry, but because of the purpose of God, he became the Son of Man, so that he can accomplish the cause of God. What a way to live. That's how he wants you to live. I know you are the son of Mr. whatever your father's name is, but the day God came into your life, he's trying to say, see, beyond living as the son of Mr. whatever your father's name is, I want you to live as a child of God. Say with me, as a child of God. What it means is that I want you to live as one that is born of God. Let the God character be your character. I want to show you something. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Say with me, influence. Understanding the ways of the Spirit. The Spirit has way. Understanding the way of the Spirit. Okay. Let's read verse 3. Philippians 2, verse 3. And NLT, please. Every man is led by Spirit. The people of this world, they are led by the Spirit of the world. I'll come to that very soon. Now, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others better than yourself. Now, verse 4. You see what Jesus was telling Pilate? He was only preparing a model. Everybody say a model. He was only setting up a what? A pattern. You see, some of you, you are too reactive. You are too proud. Are you with me? You are too proud. I mean, if truly you are born of God's Spirit, one of the first tendencies that you must display is the tendency of selflessness. See, now waiting I want be this one. This now waiting I want. But because of God, I don't want time again. That's what scripture is. And to get to that point, it's a walk. W-O-R-K. And it's a walk. W-A-L-K. That's why you get into the local church. That's why we are saying come and become accountable. Because in the real sense, you don't want to come to church today. But because of accountability, you know you just have to come. It is not just the fact that you came as a result of accountability. It's the fact that you are beginning to learn a principle. That even though this is what I want to do, but because of the system I have said yes to, I can't do it. That's what it means to be led. He said, look at the next verse. He said, you must have the same attitude. Attitude is simply a blend of motives and thoughts. Attitude is an influencer. Hello? Attitude, if you check the word attitude, attitude is simply a blend of motive and thought. Motive is why? I don't like him. He's snobby. Are you getting me? The moment I say I don't like him, he's snobby. That speaks about my motive towards him. I don't like him. He's snobby. Are you getting it now? Now, thought is that's what I think about him. I don't like him. He's snobby. Now, the next time he comes, he's greeting me, I don't answer. Now, that me not answering is the outcome of a thought about him that I have what? I've already settled in my heart. Because it's not very normal for me to come and I'm greeting him, I'm greeting her, she's not smiling behind it. Are you with me? It's either she's hungry or she's angry. There's any of the two. Hungry, internal desire. Angry, maybe I don't offend her. No. What we are saying is that every action is predicated on an underlying influence. Something is powering it inside. Are you here? So what God is trying to tell you by bringing you into salvation, he said, let not your selfishness be the motivator of your actions. Okay, the reason why you are frowning now is that you were hungry. He had money, bought plantain. He ate the bigger part and gave you very small. So you are angry. Amen. You know, most of the reasons we are angry with people, they are always very minor. Because there is no other major thing that anybody will do to you that will put sword in your tummy and you will die. So if person don't shook your belly, die. Any other thing they do is minor. Now only you now amplify them. It's true. If he don't kill you, he don't do you anything. Shebi na only call, he don't call you on your belly. Don't mean anything now. At least you called yourself on your belly. You know, in the real sense, if we check most of the things we have with people, they are all tied to our selfishness. That's why I'm making you angry. That's why if you are someone that always easily gets angry, the problem is not people, the problem is you. You have selfishness problem. If you see someone that is always very angry with people, it's always egoistic. So Paul was not writing. He said you must have the same what? Attitude. What he's saying is that let the same spirit that influences Christ influence how you live. That's what he's saying. How? Verse 6. He said, who though he was God. Did you see that? He was. I wanted to do a study of the Gospels. Look up, everybody. Go and read Matthew, Mark, Luke. And then read Colossians. Jesus, most people think Jesus was just a prototype of God. Jesus was not a prototype of God. Are we here? Give us Colossians chapter 1 verse 16. Jesus was not a prototype of God. Jesus was what? Was God himself. He said, for through him. Did you see that? 15. Start from 15. He's talking about Jesus. He said, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He said, he existed before anything was created. And he's what? Supreme over all. I mean, the supreme one was begging a woman for water. The one that created water. Everybody say the height of humility. And let me tell you something about the divine. Jesus did not carry humility on a spiritual body. Jesus wore humility on a human body. Listen, sister, you can be humble. That's the way of the Spirit. Most of you think when we talk about the way of the Spirit is having a dream of seven angels giving you seven fire. As far as we are concerned, Paul called those things spiritual nonsense. That's why some of you are proud. I mean, I've seen people who, when they started this Christian life, they were so humble, they can sweep, clean, do everything. Along the line, they prayed and fasted, and one day God caught them to the third heaven. And they saw Isaiah, they saw Nehemiah, they even saw Josiah. They communed with angels, took blood, took bread. They woke up, and from that day, their heart should depart. Apostle Paul said it in Colossians. He said, you should not be deceived by voluntary worship of angels. Even if angel Gabriel is appearing to you every night in your dream, the manifestation of that appearance is that when you are dealing with men, let your humbleness be divinely humble. Jesus bore humility in a human body. So if anybody tells you that in this human body you cannot be humble, the person is not telling you the truth. Are you following me? He said he existed before anything. Let's see the next verse. He said, for see this, he said, everything in the heavenly realm on earth he made. That he there is not God though. Is who? Jesus is a maker. So when you saw Jesus walking on water, he was not just trying to practicalize anything to prove that he's superhuman. He was only expressing his divinity, because he was the one that created water and everything inside. Water cannot kill him. Hello? Nothing that Jesus created can kill him. He killed himself. You didn't know. He killed himself. The moment they sat down on the table to eat, he took bread, prayed on the bread, and gave it to Judas and said, Judas, whatever you want to do, do fast. This bread will only last for a period of time. He gave Peter, Judas, the permission to kill him. And yet, at that level of divinity, he still came and became a human. And then you, now only understanding you get to, you only have understanding into the realms of the spirit. You are not the originator of the realm of the spirit. The originator of the realm of the spirit was humanity to the core. Your own, only enter, you just see. Show that door high. That's why Bible says God resists the proud. There is no other person that God resists. You know why? And that's where I'll close. There are three characteristics of the way of the human spirit: lust, pride. Are you with me? Did you get that? I know you know the characteristics of the Spirit of God. We will not come here yet. But listen to this. The characteristics of the fallen human spirit in this world. Number one is lust of the eyes. Pride of life. Lust of the flesh. That is what the Spirit of God in us is coming to what? To tame. Some people are led by lust. On Tuesday, we are talking about love, Valentine, and all those things. You see some people's writing, the things they write about some people. You know, when I read some people said this one is not born again. Do you understand? Although some of them were just cashing crews, actually. But in the reality, that's how some people live. The reason some people want to make money is to use Lamborghini. That's the only reason they want to make money. There is a desire for the things that they see. That is what is driving them. Why do you think people go into Yahoo and all these cyber crimes? Lack of contentment. And lack of contentment is a lust. Is a, the word lust is a desire. Do you know why it's called lust? An uncontrollable desire. See it. See it. The truth is, listen, everybody, you can know if you are led by God. For example, I have a business I'm doing. I know I should be in church. And I have a business. What my business gives me money. What my attending to church gives me spirituality. Spirituality is higher than money, even though money is important. So I choose to lock my business and come to church. It does not mean I don't like money. It only means that I have a higher desire. That's what it means. If a young lady is pouring her body on you, throwing her body on you, sleep with me, and you say, no, I'm not going to sleep with you, it does not mean that she's ugly. Potiphar's wife was not ugly. But the only thing Joseph told her was that, two, one, I'm a faithful steward. Your husband did not give you to me. Two, I can't do this thing against the authority I stand for. There is something every man must bow for. If he must be, every man must not bow to, sorry, if he must be led by the Spirit of God, walking in the ways of the Spirit. One of the things that a genuine spiritual man will not display is lust. Lust of the eyes. Craving and clinging after the things that the eye sees. Nothing on Facebook, nothing on Instagram, nothing on status can move some people. They have where their heart is already planted. Two, pride. The simplest definition of pride is me, myself, and I. It's just all about me. Everything revolves around me. That Matthew 4 we read. Everybody say pride. Come. The Bible says Satan took Jesus to a very high mountain. And he said, see, all these things will I give to you if you bow to That's pride. You reward people based on how well they can fan your ego. You reward people based on how much of eye service they can render you. Satan is the one that initiated it. Are you with me? It's not the way of Christ. The way of Christ is let each man consider the other better. That's all Jesus did. He embodied humility, personified it. The height of it was the death on the cross. He died on a borrowed cross, was buried on a borrowed grave. He lived on a borrowed body. What other level of humility can he display? So the way of the Spirit is the way of humility. You can't be spiritual and be proud at the same time. It don't rhyme. No, see, these things are consistent. One of the valid posture of the way of the Spirit is what? Is humility. Humility is not just you, just no. It's a consciousness that all that I have, all that I am, they are not me. They come from God. And that alone just puts you behind. And then you move people forward. Then, lust of the what? Flesh. Gratification. That's what we mean by lust of the flesh. You can do anything. I mean anything. You can go any length to satisfy your flesh. So people can go any length to buy expensive clothes. You see all these social media influencers that they call themselves, all these celebrities, a number of you are following them. They will spend money to go and do boots enlargement surgery. So when you see them snap picture, not be only the boots they go to show. You know how much they spend take attain that look. It's called lust of the what? Flesh. They can pay any price to make their flesh the focus of attention. And so that's why if you say you are led by the Spirit, imagine a believer said my role model is Kim Kardashian. You see a pastor preaching, every of his references is Bill Gates, is Aliko Dangote. He's not a believer. If I come to church and it's a Elon Musk story I'm using to excite you, that means I've already lost my calling. We must understand the way of the Spirit. The way of the Spirit is the way of losing this world to gain the superior order. Saying, I wake up in the morning and the intentions of my heart is to do the will of God. Do you know right now, some people are beginning to conclude that going out for evangelism every day is a waste of time. It's because you don't have work. We are coming to a time, look up, we are coming to a time where people will be mocking you for your commitment to spiritual disciplines. You should be sensible. It's coming. I mean, they will be mocking you. Your own, only sleep and pray. Just pray, 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 pray. They pray. Nothing else. And they will be saying it sarcastically to mock you. But let's be sincere. Let's be realistic. In the real sense, what else? What else? You go, you wake up every morning. You sleep, wake up every morning, you make money, you buy a big car. You use the car. Car have accidents, or you sell it. You know, when we're growing up, there's one comedy they used to do, say, life now, two things they involve. Either you are tall, you are short. You are black or you are white. You are poor, you are rich. Either you are alive or you are dead. You see, and when you die, now two things they involve. Either you go paradise or you go Hades. If you go paradise, now two things they involve. Whether you go there close to the lamb or you go there for the street. You choose your choice well. So the rich man was making money. Lazarus was a poor beggar, but he had a walk with God. Scripture said when the both of them died, Lazarus was caught up to paradise. Abraham was his fellow housemate. But guess what? The rich man, his fellow housemate, was Scoobe and Philala. They were flogging the hell out of him. This was a man that had deep freezers of water. Was begging, was telling Abraham, was telling Lazarus, if you can just dip your finger, let just a drop. Can you reason it? Just a drop. That shows you the depth of his thirst. But while he was on it, that thirst was quenched by earthly wealth. And then somebody will come and tell me that my goal as a Christian is to be the richest in my community. No, that's not my goal. It's a balloon dream. If you were to be the richest in your family, it would not give you voice. The voice of spirituality is the place of prayers, intercession, and teaching men the word of God. I know you want money, but putting God and money at the same place is already a caricature. It's you making mockery of God, because Jesus on earth already said you can't put God and money on the same place. As far as God is concerned, money is a messenger. How will you put master and messenger together? Go and ask Asena. You cannot run with the master and win. How will you? I mean, I teach you work. We can't come feed you. Can't beat me. It's a parable. Seven times they have met. Have you six times? Six times they have lost. How do you explain it? I mean, I teach you work. Now me teach you formation. You can't go inside feed. You can't beat me. You go only beat me if I give you the ring. I did it. Better we pa. Dethrone now once. It's a parable. But that's the reality. You can't put God. God and Satan can't fight. They can't even be on the same field. Go read Revelation. The battle of the Armageddon. The armies of the devil came. The armies of God came. They wanted to fight. How will I follow you to fight? The ground opened. They entered. Safety. Quickly. We can't. Why would God and Satan be fighting? Any picture that you see God and Satan is wrong. God, I mean. Dominion can't be greed. You can't say more. Can't fight. That's what you do when you leave God and chase money. Money is a servant. Chase God, and God will send money message on your life. I pity believers when it comes to choosing God and money. They pick money. No, see, that it hurts me. Never. It hurts. It hurts. I mean, you were given a job, for example. It to take your prayer life, take your commitment to God, and you will take it. No way. Money in God's realm is a messenger. You serve the king's cause. Solomon prayed and said, God, give me wisdom. God said, boy, you are wise. You didn't ask for money. You didn't ask for the head of your enemy. He said, see those things? I will give them to you. Just for you to ask of me wisdom. And what Solomon did was to key into God's intentions. Because at that point in time, God needed a man that could operate in wisdom. I want you to bow your head. And just one prayer I want you to pray. For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. When you are praying that prayer, I say, Lord, I choose your influence. I wrap my life around your motive. If you say win souls, I go out and win souls. If you say pray, I bow my knees to pray. If you say give my money, I give it. I live a life where nothing I own becomes my own.
Way of wisdom, I chose the way of the Lord.
I want you to pray that prayer, just that one prayer. I choose your way, Lord.
I chose the way of the Lord.
I don't live for myself. Of you are living too much for yourself.
I choose the
your 24 hours, you are the only one that gains.
For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom.
want you to stand up on your feet and place your hands on your chest.
The way of the Lord.
I say no to lust. I say no to pride.
The way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord.
Listen. Nothing in this world will satisfy you. Wait. Open your eyes. You see why these politicians cannot leave the throne? They would rather die there. Wealth is like a mirage. You keep chasing, you keep chasing. You can't get to the peak of it. It's a mirage. Is it women? See, chasing women, you just keep chasing them till you die. Economist of this world, they didn't need to be spiritual before they told us that human needs are insatiable. There is nothing you need that you can satisfy. Up till today, the money that Sani Abacha took from Nigeria, they are still repatriating it. Somebody said that man is the biggest money ritual Nigeria ever did. He's in his debt, he keeps spilling money. But where he is, lost forever. There are monies that man took up till now, nations can't release it. You see Switzerland? Most of those monies make those nations. I now looked at myself one day, sir, how much money do I need? I now read scriptures in James. He said, if you have food and you have clothes to wear, you are the best in God's kingdom. That's all life is. That's why when I have the food, I look for people who wants to eat it. Because today you are alive, tomorrow you are dead, regardless of how much you have anywhere. So when you are chasing money, make sure you know what you are chasing. For the way of the Lord.
There's
only one way in this life.
Is the way of wisdom. I choose
the way of the Spirit.
Of the Lord.
Is the way of contentment. Is the way of contentment. Come from behind and partake of the communion.
I choose the way of the Lord.
Lord, as I partake of this communion tonight, let there be a quickening into the way of the Spirit. The way of the Spirit is the way of the divine plans, the divine intentions. All of the purpose of my life, my desires,
I choose the way.
My
motive.
lift up your hands.
I choose to have alone.
Lift up your right hand and say, Lord, let your desire be my desire. Let your will be my will. Let your pleasure be my pleasure. Let the thing that you love be the things that I love. That's all about the kingdom life. It's an alignment of will, alignment of intentions, alignment of interests. In all that I do, Jesus is the highest. Father, Lord, I ask for your help. Let this be my desire, Lord. Let nothing else occupy the throne. Let nothing else sit in my heart. Let you and your pleasure be my satisfaction. I let go of my ways. I let go of my thoughts. I let go of my desires. I walk in your ways. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. So when we come back on Sunday, we're going to continue to look at how then do we walk in the intentions of God. How then do we assess his intentions, his motives? Because if the way of the Spirit is the way of his intentions, it means intentions has to be made plain in our heart. So that when I go to my place of work, I know that I'm not there as Stephen Enoko, but I'm there as an ambassador of light. So that the God that people cannot see in the mountain, they will meet him in my life. Great grace abounds to us. So as you go tonight, the Spirit of grace rests mightily on your heart. You are returning back on Sunday with a stronger desire to know the way of God and to follow his paths. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody rejoice.
We hope that you have been instructed and edified by the teaching from God's servant, Pastor Stephen Enoko. If you have need for more edifying teachings, you can download them from our ministry's website, www.kdclovemercy.com/sermons. For counseling, feedbacks, and should you want to support the ministry or be a partner to what the Lord is doing through us, send us a mail through kdclovemercychurch@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Keep taking charge.